We're just going to read one verse as we start this morning, really just focus on the first half of this verse. And it's not an unfamiliar verse, it's one we know very well. In fact, we just went through the Sermon on the Mount in the adult Sunday school a couple of months ago, and we focused on this verse as well as the others. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 simply says this: "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I want to focus just on the first phrase in that verse: "Let your light so shine before men." I want to preach a message I've entitled, "How to Show Your Faith." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we do thank you for this morning, this opportunity to gather here. And Lord, we pray for the preaching of your word, that God, you give guidance and direction. Father, I do pray for clarity of thought. Lord, I pray for the presentation of the word of God. God, it is so worthy of being proclaimed. And yet, Father, we always feel so inadequate to be able to do it. Father, even those things that are such a blessing to me personally when I read and study, Father, I just feel like I can't communicate correctly. And so we ask for your guidance. We ask for your help in preaching your word this morning. We pray, Father, as a body of believers, that you would encourage us to help us to show our faith to the community that we live in. And Father, not just the community, but Father, even to one another. And Lord, we pray this morning that you'd challenge us in these areas and help us to be that person whose light shines so that others might see Christ in and through us. We pray especially, should there be one that's come to join us today that has never trusted Christ as their Savior, Father, that simple act of salvation by faith alone in Jesus Christ, that Father, today would be the day that they would commit and put their faith and trust in Him. Lord, be born again, be changed from this world and prepared for the next world. Bless your word to each and every heart. Feed us, we pray. Encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine." How to show our faith. Now, notice I didn't say how to share your faith. But it is very important to share your faith. That's not just not the subject I'm preaching on this morning. But sharing our faith is a very important thing. The reason you got the gospel is probably because somebody told you about it. That day that I went into that office working in the Marine Corps, and my sergeant that sat me down and witnessed to me, and I began to understand and invited me to church. If not for him, and I know we can say, but if not for him, where would I be? Had he not taken the initiative to speak to me about Christ, to witness to me. Now I know God could have sent somewhere else, someone else down the line, but that's the one he sent. That's the one that told me. That's what caused my conversion and my salvation. I'm thankful that somebody else shared the good news with me. Now it's my responsibility to share it with other people. Now it's your responsibility to give the gospel to those that are around you. And so we're not diminishing the importance of speaking the gospel, but we're simply saying this. We are to be witnesses of the Lord, but we're also to walk like the Lord. All right? It's great that you can speak. It's great that you can invite people to church. It's great that you can tell people about the Lord. But our walk needs to back up our talk. If all it is words and expressions, and our life doesn't shine forth, this is not working. If our life is not shining forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and a changed life and a new heart, then it's not going to come to any fruit. We need to be doing more than just talking about it. We need to show our faith. And not just to the unsaved world, we need to show our faith to one another. We need to be a blessing and an encouragement of what it is to walk with Jesus Christ right here. Sometimes we get folks in here that are new converts. They've been saved 6 months or a year. Sometimes we've got folks that have been saved 60 years. And those that have been saved longer need to be a light to those that are saved younger, to be an encouragement to them. We are to show our faith, not just out there in the world, which it is important, but we're to show it to one another inside of here. Paul said more than one time in his epistles, he said to those he was writing to, he said, "Be ye followers of me." Paul said, "I want to be an example of the believer." He said that to the believers in Philippi in Philippians 3:17. He said, "You have us for an example," or an ensample. We are to be examples of the believer to other believers. Not just to the world so we show what the difference between a believer and unbeliever is, but even to the believers we show a right pattern and a right model for what a believer is. Because can I tell you this? People are watching you. Whether you realize it or not, whether it's family members, whether it's people on the job, whether it's people here at the church that are looking for an example as a believer, other people are looking at you and they're watching you. And the things that you do matter. Your faithfulness to God matters. Your demeanor, your personality, your cheerfulness, it all matters because you're an example to someone else about what a believer is. When you walk out of the doors of this church, you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. You're an example of Him to the world that's out there. When you go out these doors and folks say, oh, I know who that is, they go to Bible Baptist Church, you're an example of this church. And you and I need to be examples to the world. We need to show our faith. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, Paul said this, we make ourselves an example to you who follow us. Paul told Timothy, be thou an example of the believer. Let me ask you a question this morning. What kind of an example are you? To those that know you best, I mean, you know, as a husband, those that know me the best are those in my own household. What kind of an example am I? Not here in church on Sunday, but at home the rest of the week. What kind of example am I when I go to work on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? For those that are around me and those that are seeing me, do I have a consistent testimony? Am I showing my faith all the time? Now, again, I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying we don't make mistakes and trip up sometimes. But we are showing our faith by the way that we live our life. How do we show our faith? I want to give you five things this morning. That's always best. That way you know. That way I know when I'm almost done. Well, I'll give you five things this morning on how to show your faith. Look, if you would, first at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5. This is what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5. That one that said, be followers of me. That one that said, you have us for an example. Notice what he says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savior. Here's what I want to say about this. Number one, if you want to show your faith, be authentic. Be authentic. What does that mean? It means be real. Don't be fake. Don't try to be something you're not. But make sure that what you are is a real example of a believer to other people. Nobody appreciates somebody that's two-faced. Nobody appreciates somebody that's fake or put on. And let's be honest, folks, some Christians are the best at being put on and two-faced. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When we are talking holy and talking excited about the Lord, but our life doesn't back it up, we're not being real, we're not being authentic. The world will appreciate our faults when we're authentic more than our perfections when we're fake. We need to be real to the people that are around us. Brother Darrell likes to use a word we talk about a lot, about transparency. And that's what we need to be as believers. We need to be transparent. Let people see when we're hurting. Let people know when we're excited. But also know that no matter what the times are and difficulties are, we've got the Lord behind us. And we can do, accomplish, or overcome anything we need to. But just be real. Christians don't live on some spiritual plane that nobody else lives on. We live on the same plane that everybody else in the world does. We experience the same tragedies. We experience the same heartaches. We experience the same troubles. And so we're not living. We sing about the sweet by and by and oh, we just can't wait to get there. But we still live in the nasty now and now. And we still need to deal with the situations and the thing. And the world is watching us and fellow believers that are watching us, they're watching how we handle situations and how we handle things that go on. And we need to be an example. We need to be very real in what we're going through. Nobody likes hypocritical people. Nobody likes a fake. Nobody likes a pretend Christian. There's a world expression that says this, you can fool all the people some of the time, and some of the people all of the time, But you can never fool all the people all the time. So don't try. Don't try to fool people. Just be who you are. Be what you are. But you know what? Walking with God will help you to be what you need to be for people to see. When we disdain, when we don't put priority on spiritual things, then what's going to show is not going to be something that's going to show our faith. What we love, what we talk about, what we spend time around, that's what's going to show forth in our life. When we're around the people of God and the things of God, and even when we're out, we're reading our Bible, we're listening to good godly music, or listening to preaching on the radio, whatever it might be, when we're investing our time in things like that, it's going to show through us. And the opposite is true also. When we leave church and go out and turn the radio on, and listening to the trash that the world's got to offer, then that's what's going to show in our life. They say the dog that you feed the most is the strongest dog. And when we feed our worldliness more than our faith, it's going to appear to others that we don't have the faith that we keep talking about. How to show our faith? We've got to be authentic. We've got to be real. People are watching us. It doesn't mean we stoop down to the level of other folks. It doesn't mean that we live a different life. But what we have is real. What we do really matters for something. We're living for the Lord Jesus Christ. People are watching us. They're going to watch us in our tragedies. They're going to watch us in our triumphs. They're going to see how we handle our situations. They're going to see how we deal with different things. And the same rain that falls on the just falls on the unjust. The same things that happen to good people happen to bad people, sometimes happen to good people. But we need to be authentic. We need to be real because the world needs something real. You know, I open up the front of my Bible, and I won't do it right now. It takes too much work. If I open back here to the front of my Bible, it says imitation leather. Now, you know what imitation leather is? It's fake. I don't care how nice the words sound. And I don't care when they're advertising, they say, this is real imitation leather. No, it's not real imitation leather. It's imitation leather. You know, it amazes me that these new modern Bibles that are coming out, when the Bible says, be followers of Christ as dear children, the new Bibles come out and say, be imitators of Christ. Well, you know what imitation is? It's not real. It's fake. The Lord doesn't want us to not be real. The Lord wants us to be genuine. He wants us to be authentic. He wants us to let our light shine so other people will see it. How real are we to the people we work with? How real are we to the people we worship with? How real are we to the people that we walk with day after day? We need to be authentic so our faith can show. There ought to be something in our life that someone looks and says, there's something different about that person. Now, it needs to be expressed verbally. I'm not trying to bypass that. But there also should be something that somebody says, there's something different about that person. About their attitude, about their language, about their likes or dislikes, about what they get involved in or don't get involved in. But our faith does show one way or the other. And the best way to make it show is by being authentic, being real for the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, and I'm going to do this. Turn back to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. And you'll forgive me if things just don't flow today like they normally do. So, all right, I said you'll forgive me. I hope you'll forgive me. Psalm 118, verse number 24. Not only should we be authentic, but Psalm 118, verse 24 says this. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us be depressed and be sorrowful in it. Now again, I said this. Those things happen to us. Those things come our way. But you know what we need to do to show our faith? Not only do we need to be authentic, we need to be positive. Amen. Psalm 118 verse 24 says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, again, we're not talking about being fake, because it's very easy to just put a positive spin on everything. Thank God this didn't happen to that hand. All right? We can be positive about anything. This is my writing hand. This is my eating hand. Thank God it didn't happen to that hand. All right? It happened to this one. I can make do. I can get by, other than tying a tie and things like that. But we can get by with that. But there's always something to be cheerful about. There's always something to rejoice about. Doesn't it really just drive you to the depths of despair when you know these people? And again, I'm not talking about certain things happen, situations, things happen that knock us off our feet for a while. But I'm talking about people that are constantly and always on the negative side. You don't want to talk to them because you know when you do, you're going to walk away depressed. You know when you talk to them, they're going to find fault. They're going to criticize. Brother Griffith said that one guy came to him one time and said, I have a spiritual gift. God has given me the gift of criticism. Now, I'd like to say, God's given me a gift. No, I couldn't say that. We don't like those people that are always critical and negative and fault-finding. Don't be that person. Don't be that kind of way. Be positive. Be uplifting. You know what the Bible says in Scripture? It says in Hebrews 10:25, that verse we use about going to church all the time, not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together as the manner of some is. All right? Folks that are not in church on Sunday morning are not in church on Sunday morning because they don't go to church Sunday mornings. That's just the way they live. You and I are different. We're believers. We're Christians. We don't forsake the assembling ourselves together, but exhorting one another. You know what exhorting is? It's being positive. It's being encouraging. It's uplifting one another. Somebody said one time that Baptists are the only people that shoot their wounded. And sometimes that's too true. The Bible says a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up yet again. You know what I want to be? I don't want to be the just man that falls 7 times. I want to be the friend that lifts them up 7 times. And 8 times, and 9 times, and 10 times. I want to be positive. I want to set an example for other people. They can say, if that's what a Christian is, I want to be like that. And again, we're not talking about being fake and unreal and putting a spin on things. We're talking about the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what Nehemiah wrote. The joy of the Lord is our strength. How strong are you? Depends on how your joy is. Ken, take this down just a little bit. I'm getting a ringing here. All right? How is your strength? Your strength is according to your joy. Nobody can take your... Can I say it this way? Your happiness can be stolen, but your joy cannot. Happiness is based on circumstances. And you can be happy one day and not happy the next day. That's reality. But your joy, no man can take from you. Because your joy comes from the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And it's that joy that needs to shine so other people see that kind of faith in us. We have to deal with this world. We have to deal with people in this world. You know, every job, you'd say this. Devaney, I'm looking at you. You're a nurse. Nursing would be a great occupation if you didn't have to deal with people. All right? Brother Darrell's in the commercial business. It would be great. Everything people do, we all say this. This job would be great if I just didn't have to deal with people. That's always the downside of it. You know why? Because they're negative. And they're discouraging. And they're downhearted. Again, we're not putting on something fake. But if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a reason to rejoice. We've got a reason to have joy. And of all people in the world, if we don't have it, where are we going to find it? So if we're going to show our faith, we're going to have to show the things that are happy, the things that we look for. Somebody says, well, I'm positive. The world's going to come to an end. Well, that's not being positive. Well, yes, it is. I'm positive the world's going to come to an end. It's not being those ways. It's showing forth in our life something that we're excited about, that we enjoy. When you see a Christian who's critical of others and negative all the time, nobody says, I want to be like that person. No other believer says, yeah, that's my role model, that's my goal. But when we see somebody, have you ever heard somebody say this? He never had or she never has an unkind word to say about anybody. You know what? That's the person we want to be like. That's the Christian we want to emulate. We need to be authentic. We need to be positive. And again, if, as you write these things down, underline the fact that we're not putting this on. You can't fake being authentic. All right? You can't put on being authentic. You are what you are. You are however you are in real life as what you are. Make sure it's the right thing to show your faith. We need to be positive. That doesn't mean we don't denounce sin. That means we don't stand against wickedness. But it means that in our life, we don't have to be the person that nobody wants to be around. We want to be that one that's uplifting and encouraging and helping other people. Number three, go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. How to show our faith. Be authentic. Be positive. Ephesians chapter 4. Somebody took it out of my Bible. Ephesians chapter 4. It's a rough day. Ephesians 4:32. You know this verse. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's a song we sang in junior church a couple years ago down with all the kids. All right? Be ye kind. Can I tell you this? That's a command. That's a command penned by the Apostle Paul. Somebody says, well, I'm going to go to heaven because I'm going to keep the commandments. Really? All of them? Now, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about 10 found way back in Exodus that you can't keep anyways. But there's a lot more. A new commandment I give unto you that you love one another. There's a lot more than 10 commandments. In fact, there's 633 in the first 5 books of the Bible. Then you get to the Lord Jesus Christ giving us commandments, and now the Apostle Paul is giving us a commandment, and the commandment he gives us simply this, be ye kind one to another. Well, I don't feel like it. He didn't ask you if you felt like it. I don't want to. He didn't ask you if you wanted to. Oh, I'm not having a good day. He didn't ask you if you're having a good day. He said, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. You know what that's the opposite of? Look at the verse right in front of it. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I love the simplicity of the Word of God. Say, preacher, what does it mean to be kind? It means not to be bitter and wrathful and angry and clamorous and evil speaking and full of malice. It's to be kind. The Collingsworth family, I don't know if you haven't, you might want to go listen to them singing. They're wonderful gospel family to sing to. But when I was thinking about this message of being kind, a song came to my mind. And I thought, well, is that a secular song or a spiritual song? You got to check yourself out every once in a while. So I typed it in and found out it was the Collingsworth. And they sing a song and the words go like this. I'm not going to sing it. Show a little bit of love and kindness. Never go around with hatred's blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary. Give a little help to a friend that's weary. That's a way to make the world a happy place. I like that song. That's a good song for us to go around and learn and sing and quote, because we need to understand this world needs kindness. Kindness will diffuse escalation. All right? Think about what I'm saying when I say kindness will diffuse escalation. When you are nice to somebody who's being mad at you, it makes it hard for them to be mad at you. I like being that person that makes it hard on somebody else to be mad. I like smiling when they're angry. Not to be sarcastic, not to be mean-spirited, but just to let them know, I've got a joy in here that you're not going to take away. I've got some happiness in here that you're not going to spoil. And I'm going to smile. Those of you that saw the picture I put on Facebook Friday night of this, I was standing in my living room like this, and I had a big smile on my face. Now, part of that, I'm not going to let those things steal my joy. The other part is, I was on pain medications. There's no telling what I was what I was doing when they took that picture that night. But the simple fact of the matter is, we set the tone for how we live our life. We set the pattern for how people are around us. When you've got people that are, verse 31, bitter, wrathful, angry, clamorous, evil speaking, you know what you do? You get away from them. And you look for those that are kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Now, you know me well enough to know I'm not talking about some soupy kind of emotionalism. I'm not talking about some, you know, tender, weak-wristed Christianity. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about having a genuine and true concern for one another and letting our faith show through our actions. Folks can talk and talk and talk and talk, but if it doesn't show, it's not going to make a difference. We need to be kind. It's a command, Paul said. Be ye kind one to another. Do you remember this? Random acts of kindness. If you remember that, that was something that came out, and I had to look this up, in 1993. Some person had written a book about random, just go out and look for some random thing that you can do kind to somebody else. The world thought of that in 1993. God thought of that over 2,000 years ago and told us to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Isn't that what a Christian ought to be? Isn't that the light that should shine from us? Being kind one to another. So be authentic. Be positive. Be kind. Number four, look at Romans chapter 12. Now, if you thought I was being mushy with be kind, wait till you get to this one. Romans chapter 12. That's after Acts, right? This is rough. Romans chapter 12. There we go. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 15. Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Just one verse. We don't have time for the context, but notice what Paul says. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. I said we need to be authentic, be positive, be kind. Number four, be sensitive. Now, I'm not talking about sensitivity training, but I'm talking about being sensitive. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Weep with those that weep. Can I tell you the prime example of not doing that is found back in the Old Testament in a book called Job, where a man was smitten with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and so full of boils that he took a piece of pottery and scraped them off of his arms just to try to relieve the pressure and the pain from him. And three of his three best friends showed up and sat around the campfire and for 7 days never said a word. That's the best thing they ever did, was keep their mouth shut. They sat around for 7 days and didn't say a word. And then after that, they opened their mouths. And everything that came out of their mouth from that point forward was discouraging to Job. Everything they said from that point forward was doubting his faith, doubting his character, doubting his generosity to others, doubting everything about him. That's what they sat around for. And you know what Job said to them? Miserable comforters are you all. You know how you stop from being a miserable counselor? The old Indians would say, walk a mile in somebody else's moccasins. All right? Be kind. Be tender-hearted. Be sensitive. You know what I learned a long time ago? There's a great possibility that if you're not sensitive to somebody in their trial, God will allow you to face that trial so you'll learn some sensitivity. Now that's learned by years of experience. And I've learned to be careful when I don't understand how people react to one thing or another, and to me it just, you know, doesn't make any sense. I am very careful now to criticize or say anything. Anything I say stays right in here now. Because I've learned the hard way that if you judge them outwardly, God's going to say, all right, you think that's so easy to handle, big guy? Let me give it to you for a little while. We need to be sensitive. We need to be aware of the needs of others. Did you know this? This will cost you $150 for this next half hour, all right? I'm going to give you some information that's extremely valuable. Not all of us are the same. Not all of us have the same personality. Not all of us have the same attitudes and demeanor. And that doesn't mean that, I mean, obviously if you don't have the same personality as me, then you're wrong and I'm right. If you don't have the same attitude, that's not, we're all different. We're all made different. We're all shaped differently. We have different personalities and different attitudes, different likes and different dislikes. And all that make every one of us unique and yet make us unified at the same time. Because we understand one another. There's some things that, you know who understands what I'm going through right now? Those that have had this happen before. All right? Those that have had something like this happen, you understand what this is like. Those that have never had this happen, I remember when I had the knee problem, and the knee got, I don't know, why are we talking about this? Well, I am, all right. When that knee got demolished and all that, and guys would come up and say, oh, I had a knee replacement. And I wanted to say, this is not a knee replacement. That was scheduled ahead of time and planned, and the doctors went in and knew exactly what they're doing. We're going to take this out and put that. This got demolished by a fall. It's not the same. And the people that have been through it understand it, but people that haven't don't really. When you don't understand something, don't give your 2 cents. When you don't understand something, don't be the expert. Let God take care of it. Let God deal with it. Let God move. Let God do something. Be sensitive. Job's three friends, if they'd have spent the next 21 days around that campfire with their mouths shut, they would have been rewarded at the end. Instead of God saying to them, you better go to Job and have him pray for you because you're in a mess of trouble. And you better have him make a sacrifice for each of you because the words coming out of your mouth have not been right. What was their problem? They weren't sensitive. They weren't sensitive to Job. A just and upright man, one that loved God and eschewed evil. And they were not sensitive to how he was. Now again, you understand, as I studied this, I almost got nervous using the word sensitive because of the way the world uses it these days. I'm not talking about being soft. I'm not talking about being compromising. But I'm talking about understanding one another, rejoicing with those that rejoice, and weeping with those that weep. Be sensitive. And then lastly, look if you would at Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. How to show your faith. Now there's a whole bunch of things we could come up with other than these five. How to show your faith. Be authentic. Be positive. Be kind. Be sensitive. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I just want that part of the verse. A man that hath friends, how do you show your faith if you never leave your house? You know, there's these believers that say, well, I think the Lord's coming back. We're going to sell everything we own, go down and live on a mountaintop in Kentucky. And this is real. I'm not making this up. We're going to sell everything we own. We're going to go live on that mountaintop in Kentucky and wait for the Lord to come back. Well, isn't that great for you? Isn't that wonderful for you? But what about the rest of the world that's dying and on its way to hell? What are we going to do about them while you're up on the top of that mountain, dressed in your white robe, waiting for the Lord to get back? Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying number five is be active. Be active. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. You know what I like about the Apostle Paul? You read about the Apostle Paul in Romans and his missionary journeys, especially Romans. Romans 16, and I'm going off the top of my head, I think it's like 36 names of people that he recites there at the end of Romans. And if you read all of his epistles and all the people he names, greet this person and that person, Paul was the greatest soul winner that ever lived. He was probably responsible for getting more people into heaven than any other human person that's ever existed, maybe equaling Billy Graham. You know, he got a lot of them in there. But you know why he was such a soul winner? Because he was a friend maker. He wasn't just a soul winner, he's a friend maker. How did he know all these people? Well, he was a craftsman. He was a tent maker, and he got to know Aquila and Priscilla. And through that contact, he got to lead them to the Lord. Through his contacts, the deputy, Sergius Paulus, when he went to the island when he went there and he met the deputy, he got to know people, he met people, and because of that, because he knew people, his faith was able to show. How does our faith show? It shows by being around other people. Sometimes we want to isolate. We need to insulate, but not isolate. By insulate, we need the Word of God in here. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. We need to get everything in here, but then we need to be out in this world and reaching other people and letting our light shine so that other people might see it. A faith that is real will be an active faith. We all know people that go to church on Sunday morning, and then they go to church next Sunday morning, and then they go to church next Sunday morning. And I'm not talking about just going to church, but I'm saying the rest of the week, they never talk about their faith. They never share their faith. They never show their faith. I mentioned to you a week or two ago about a fellow I went to high school with that I didn't know. I mean elementary school and junior high, and it wasn't until we got to high school that I found out he was a Christian and went to church every Sunday, and his mom was a Sunday school teacher. I knew him for 6-8 years before I ever found that out, and I found that out when they invited me to go to church with him. You don't show your faith when nobody knows you're a Christian. I got a girl that signed my senior yearbook, and she said, I'll write to you from Wisconsin. Wisconsin. You can go find her up there for me. She said, I'll write to you from Wisconsin. I thought, well, she must be going. You know where she went? She went to a Bible college in Wisconsin. I sat next to her in band every day. I sat next to her in economics class. She was a good friend of mine. And I never knew she was a Christian. Another couple that was in our school, that was in all the plays, the boy and the girl, were in all the plays and all that. I found out later, after I got saved, and started telling people I was saved, they came back, oh yeah, I'm saved too. You know, it doesn't do any good if other people don't know about it. We have to be active. We've got to show our faith so that others might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Make new friends. Meet new people. Give the gospel to others. You know the best place to make new friends? Right here in church. The friends you make in church are the best friends you could ever make because you've got things in common. You got things you enjoy. You know, it excites me as a pastor when I find out that different people from the church that didn't know each other before they came to church here are now getting together for fellowship or going somewhere together. That just thrills me to death as a pastor to know that we've done that in the church because we're getting out and showing our faith to the community. Matthew chapters 5 verse 16 says, let your light shine. How are we doing at showing our faith? How are we doing at letting others see it and being an example of the believers? Paul said that, be thou an example of the believer. Let your light shine. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.